We are joined now by our good friend Rex Hupke. He is the other half of Guth and Hupke on Politics. So let us begin with vinyl, Rex. What vinyl did you love?
That's funny. Yeah, boy, talk about hopping into the Wayback Machine. I love music. Music is a central part of my life, but I've never been a sort of like an audio. I'm an audiophile. I've never been big on vinyl versus digital, that sort of thing. But the two albums I remember most, perhaps this one, first one is fitting, was a ridiculous album of like really goofy. A sort of comedy rock songs called Dumb Ditties. I don't know if you remember okay. that, but it was like a compilation of like, you know, My Ding-a-ling and like hello Mother, Hello Father, like all this. I used to love that stuff. But anyway, that doesn't require the warmth of the of the vinyl experience, I don't think. But the one vinyl thing that I had that I was super proud of was Rolling Stones. Her Majesty's Satanic Request is Rolling Stones album that I had that had like a 3D cover on it, and it was really cool. And so I love that album. So that's probably, if I have to go with actual music, then it would be that. If I had to go with my strongest memory, it would be Dumb Ditties. How appropriate.
Well, yes. So thank you for being with us today. Always a pleasure to talk with you. Little bit of stuff going on in the world today. We do not have news out of Springfield, or we do, but it's not the news we hoped. So we're going to budget. But before that, I want to talk a little bit about a really interesting tweet that occurred just a little bit ago. New York Times White House correspondent Glenn Thrush, he tweeted just a bit ago, just like, I don't know, an hour ago, something someone said about Chicago. Let us discuss that.
Yes, let's. if I remember correctly, the White House press briefing today was off camera, which they've been doing more and more of, which is weird, but whatever. And this was Sarah Huckabee Sanders, who's the deputy White House press secretary. And there was news today about some additional federal agents coming to Chicago to help with the violence here, which is, I think, a welcome thing and a good thing, certainly. And she was asked about the significance of guns. Is easy access to guns responsible for the high murder rate in Chicago? Something along those lines. And she said that she thinks the problem there is that it's a crime problem. I think crime is probably driven by morality more than anything else.
Hmm.
Now, before I go to where I want to go with this, let me say that, number one, the arrival of additional, and these are ATF, Bureau of Alcohol, Tobacco, and Firearms and Explosives agents who are coming here to be part of a task force that is aimed at decreasing the spread of illegal guns throughout the city. Now, that's good. That's a good thing. Thank you. If this was, it's still not clear to me if Trump actually dispatched these people or if this was worked out via the city or what, but regardless, good. We need all the help we can get when it comes to dealing with the guns that are coming into and moving around the city, because the shootings require guns, generally speaking. And as we know, we have an insane number of them here. I think another thing that's important is that the idea that gun control on its own will solve all of Chicago's problems is nonsense. That's not true. I think that stricter gun control, not in Chicago, but in other states, which is where the majority of the illegal guns come from. They make their way, you know, from states with lax gun laws, and they come up and they wind up on the streets in Chicago and they wind up killing people. That would absolutely help. And there's just no question. It's certainly not going to hurt anything. So, you know, I mean, this is a complicated issue and it can be framed in a lot of different ways. But the problem that Chicago has, and that a lot of other cities that have violence problems, because despite the high numbers here, Chicago is not actually, on a per capita basis, the most deadly city right now at all. We're like number down in like 12, 13, 15, something like that.
I was going to say, that's the thing. Like we are a frequent target of I think people like point at Chicago a lot as being this super dangerous place. Like even as we've had visits from various people from Washington coming here, you know, even just a month ago or so, I think there was a tweet about, I hope I don't get shot, you know, while I'm in Chicago from a visiting lawmaker. So I think there's this narrative that, you know, Chicago is just the most dangerous place that is in fact inaccurate when we're looking at data. And it's another example of kind of a dominant narrative playing out and, you know, anecdotal beliefs being spread anecdotally.
Exactly. Right. And so all of this, you know, again, the additional federal agents, good. I mean, you know, this is a bad, I'm not trying to defend the situation in Chicago at all. It's awful. And it's been awful for years. And it's been awful ever since I moved here, like 15 some odd years ago. But to pin it on morality is offensive on so many different levels. Now, do I think that a person who shoots another person is immoral? Yes, I absolutely do. But what you're doing and what Sarah Huckabee Sanders did in saying this, and I mean, she's the White House deputy press secretary. As far as I'm concerned, this is the White House saying this, is to basically cast blame not on Chicago as a whole, but on certain parts of Chicago, which happen to be places where a lot of poor people live, and basically cast people as being immoral, and these are just, you know, these awful pits of places where people are just killing each other and nobody cares about anything. And that is absolute garbage. That is nonsense, and it makes me so mad. I can't stand it, because not one of these people who make claims like that would ever come here and set foot in the city and walk around these neighborhoods and meet people and find out what they're really like and find out what the actual obstacles that they're dealing with in their lives are, and actually get to the bottom of what really, really causes these problems, what's created this situation that has made parts of the city very violent. And it makes me just, I can't stand it, because A, it's just it's a rotten thing to do. Okay. There are people countless people out there whose lives have been forever changed by this violence. And you're calling them immoral. You're painting with this giant brush, first of all. Second, it's just lazy, because, you know, if people want to understand what's going on, they have to get out there. They have to talk to people. They have to understand what the problems are. And the problems are not any one thing. These ATF agents are a great idea. They're not going to fix it. I mean, gun control alone is not going to fix it. I mean, it's something that requires a wide-ranging approach and a willingness to care about the people that live in these communities, and nobody does. And then to come along and say it's morality is really the problem. That's just, you know what? Just stop. It is insulting. It's insulting to people who've lost people, who, you know, human beings who've seen their children die, and it just, it makes me so angry. And I've heard garbage like this so many times before that to hear it coming from the White House directly is just, I think it's appalling.
Yeah, we're getting some calls and texts about people weighing in on the gun debate, and that's not really where we're going right now. I appreciate you listening and appreciate calls and texts, but we're not going to specifically debate gun issues right now. We're really talking about this comment and this comment made by Deputy White House Press Secretary on Chicago. And to me, the issue is not really about gun control or not. It is about narratives that we use to describe largely impoverished areas, or even how narratives further that, you know, that what we say in the language that we use, perhaps even, as you said, paints in broad strokes about a group. You know, it's easy to say the South Side is this, the North Side is this, but in fact, there are kind human beings all over this city. And you know, and when I hear people in Washington talking about Chicago, there's a lot of they, there's a lot of them. And you know, I people say, were you born in Chicago? No, but I got here as soon as I could, and I do consider it my home. And I love it. And I got here in 2001, and I don't have any intention of ever leaving. And it is a fine city, and I will always defend it. And people that live in all neighborhoods of this city, indeed, there are some things we need to fix in this city, but I feel I really feel defensive about politicians talking about, you know, like, don't talk smack about people in my city, please. I don't like that very much whatsoever.
Right. And people, I mean, and people who are some, I mean, it's not just people in general, but people who are real, who are in the thick of the, of what is the problem. You know, it would be like, you know, after a hurricane, telling the people in the area that was just devastated that, you know, they should have been a little more moral and maybe God wouldn't have thrown a hurricane at them or something. I mean, it's just,
which is a thing that's happened, again, which is a thing people have said before. But I think too, it's, sure, it's kind of, it's like a systemic way of, like punishing poverty, really, you know? I mean, I say kind of. It's not kind of. It is. It's like furthering this narrative that, like, if you're poor, it's your fault. And that if you, you know, live in a tough neighborhood, that's somehow your fault, too. Not you know, lots of systemic stuff. Oof. Okay.
Yeah.
We got to take a little break, but I want to talk to you about the tweets going on between the president and anchor Micah Brzezinski, because that's getting kind of weird. So we're going to talk about that. We're talking with Chicago Tribune columnist Rex Hupke back in just a bit on 720 WGN. Right now we are talking with Rex Hupke, Chicago Tribune columnist, and the other half of Guth and Hupke on politics. Always a joy to have you with us, Rex. So just as in that last segment, we were talking a little bit about a comment made by White House Deputy Spokesperson Sarah Huckabee Sanders. It was connected to violence, and so we kind of had a little bit of some callers calling about gun stuff, and we're not, it wasn't really a gun debate we were having. We were just kind of talking about what was said. So too, I don't want to have a political debate right now, because that's not really what we're talking about. Right now, this is a little more in the reality TV realm, even though it does connect to a politician, and that is this really fascinatingly weird story going on between Donald Trump and Micah Brzezinski, which is this kind of weird story, but I feel like motherly about it. I just want to be like, go to your rooms, stop fighting. There seems, you know, very childish, the way this is acting. But even other GOP party members have even kind of said that, hey, yo, POTUS, this is not how we need to be acting. We're trying to make the debate a little more civilized. But so if you have not followed the story, essentially this is what happened. Trump sent a tweet about Morning Joe co-host Micah Brzezinski. First, it was about low ratings, and she said, and he said, "Oh, I think you know, this poorly rated show. I think they speak badly of me. I wouldn't know. I don't watch anymore." And then said something about how come low IQ, crazy Micah, along with psycho Joe, he says. And then that was the first tweet. And then the second one, he said something about they were at Mar-a-Lago 3 nights in a row around New Year's Eve and wanted to join him. And then he said that she was bleeding badly from a facelift, and he said no. And she got quite upset about that, as I think anyone would, being maligned by the president. And it has just kind of tumbled from there into this bizarre social media war in which she tweeted a picture of a Cheerios box talking about food for little hands. And it just keeps going. And other lawmakers are getting involved. And it just seems like this, you know, very rather childish narrative.
What have we become exactly? So, I mean, I'm not necessarily overwhelmed with the way that Morning Joe and Micah, or Joe Scarborough, I guess his name isn't Morning Joe, are handling things on the back end of this. But again, when you're the president of the United States, I think that comes with the bar is tiny bit higher technically for how you're supposed to comport yourself. And those tweets were offensive, certainly you could argue sexist and demeaning, and also based on, you know, what we're hearing, quite possibly false in terms of a facelift and blah, blah. I mean, but unfortunately, you know, now we're just kind of mired into this, like you said, it's like a reality television snipe fest. And if one of the people involved was not the president of the United States, it would probably be kind of like, you know, sort of lower down the rungs, theater of some sort. But it's just weird. I mean, it's really, it's weird. And I mean, the thing that I honestly, the people here who I think are probably in a lot of ways struggling the most are the Republican lawmakers who they just want to do their, you know, they got control. They want to do their policy stuff. You know, they want to they want to move legislation and vote on things that are that Republicans like and all that. And, you know, meanwhile, this guy's over here, like, you know, going after somebody and somebody's alleged facelift. I mean, it's just it's so, you know, it's so beyond parody and it's so weird. And it is, it's reality. I mean, we elected a reality television star and that's pretty much what we got. I mean,
well,
you know,
quite literally. Yeah. Well, and that's the thing. Yeah. I think there's a lot of, you know, there's a lot of conversation about, oh, well, like we in our profession that we are complicit that, oh, we'll just don't talk about it. But that's the thing. If it was, if this was a Kardashian, there wouldn't be necessarily any, you know, maybe an entertainment reporter might mention it on a slow day, but there wouldn't be much, but there wouldn't be much incentive to talk about it. There wouldn't be much reason to talk about it because it wouldn't be that newsworthy. But in fact, because the president of the United States is involved, there is a responsibility to describe the things that the president does and report them. And that's, I think, what gets lost a lot when we're talking about even really kind of childish things like playing out on Twitter with the president and a show host.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, it's, I just don't.
It's frustrating.
I mean, I'm a little, yeah, I mean, the sort of tut-tut outrage coming from some conservatives is a little bit ironic given that, I mean, as bad as this was, I mean, he's been tweeting and saying awful things for, as you know, a really long time. So it's not like this is new.
Yeah.
Really, it doesn't, this didn't, I mean, I found this to be, especially the facelift stuff was extremely vulgar and everything, but there have been worse, really,
well,
if you think
indeed.
About it. And so but I don't know. I mean, I just,
yeah.
You just don't know what do we do? What do you do with this? I mean, and some people say ignore it, but you can't ignore it. It's the president. If Obama had done something along these lines on Twitter, and we ignored it, people would have, you know, been rioting in the streets over it. I mean,
yeah.
You know, so it's, what do you do? It's,
yeah,
it's
and
weird.
And it's one of those that I think as long as we do need to remember that as even GOP lawmakers have said, this is below the dignity of that office, and we do need to hold him accountable for that. So it is an interesting time that we're living in which, you know, we can spend an entire segment of radio talking about the president's hissy fit on Twitter. But indeed, Rex Hupke, Chicago Tribune columnist, and the other half of Guth and Hupke on Politics, thanks so much for being with us today.
Absolutely.
Look forward to co-hosting with you early next week in this part of this.
Yes, that'll be a blast.
That'll be super fun. So you can find us back here, both of us in studio together on the air co-hosting on Monday, 7 to 9 p.m. So we'll see you then, Rex.
All right. Take care. Thanks a lot.
Thanks so much. All right. We're going to take a break, get you news, all that good stuff, and then turn things over to Ro and Anna back in just a bit on 720 WGN.